grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the 17th chapter of St. John's Gospel, the 20th and 21st verses, Jesus said, "I do not pray for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one." On the night before he was crucified, in the presence of his 12 disciples, the Lord Jesus prayed to the Father, "I do not pray for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one." In these words, our Lord is praying for you, for me, for every human being who through the word of the apostles will come to faith in him through all the ages, even to the end of the world. He prays that we all may be one. But when we look at Christ's church in this world, we see that it's sadly divided by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed, as we sing in that familiar hymn, "The Church's One Foundation." By schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed. And so it has been from the very beginning, from the time of the apostles. And if you doubt that, you need only read the New Testament scriptures, because much of those scriptures came into being in an effort to address the sad reality of error and division in the churches. St. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, "It has been reported to me that there is quarreling among you. What I mean is that each one of you says, 'I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ.' Is Christ divided?" Yes, from the earliest days of the church, there have been divisions among Christian people. And if we ask why, the answer is this. Although we are fully and freely forgiven our sins, so that God sees you and me clothed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus, in ourselves we remain poor sinners. We must never cease to pray as we do in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses." And as sinners, we continue to fall short the glory of God, and we are subject to the assaults of Satan and his minions, and we continue to live in a world which does not know and indeed hates the truth revealed in Jesus Christ as we find him in Holy Scripture. And that's why the church's history is one long struggle against Satan, against the world which knows not God, There have always been those who have remained faithful. The holy martyrs who remain faithful even unto death. The many great teachers who proclaim the truth of Christ. And all those simple Christians like you and me who have confessed Jesus as their Lord and God and only Savior, and who have tried, however haltingly, to follow Him. Today, we remember and give thanks for those faithful confessors of the faith who on June the 25th, 1530, presented the confession of their faith to Emperor Charles V in the city of Augsburg. The emperor had summoned the princes and cities of the empire to meet in Augsburg because the Turk, the militant Islam of that day, had in fact reached the gates of Vienna. And because the empire was troubled by the religious controversy which had broken out in the wake of Martin Luther's call to repentance, his call to return to the truth of God's written word. Emperor Charles was a pious Christian who deeply desired resolution this religious controversy, in part so that his empire might present a united front against the militant Islam of that day. Charles wanted a united church in a united empire. And the confession of faith which the Lutheran princes and cities presented to him was an effort to help Christians find unity in the one truth of Christ's one saving gospel. And so it was late in the afternoon, June the 25th, in Augsburg, the seven Lutheran princes in two cities presented the confession of their faith before the emperor and all the estates of the empire. Little did they then realize that this confession of their faith would be accepted not as some new and strange teaching, but as nothing more and nothing less than a faithful confession of the faith once delivered to the saints, faith firmly grounded in Holy Scripture, faith expressing the common faith of the one Church of Christ, as expressed in the Creed, and faith centering in the joyful truth of the Gospel, the Good News, that in His Son Jesus Christ, God has done all that needed to be done to save poor sinners like you and me, and through Him has overcome death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. And this precious treasure of forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, God freely gives us all through holy baptism, through the preaching of this good news, through the word of holy absolution, and through the holy sacrament of Christ's true body and blood. This confession of faith presented in Augsburg Sin became along with Luther's small catechism, which we all learned in confirmation as well, the principal statement of the faith of the Lutheran Church. When this church was dedicated in September 1930, the year of the 400th anniversary of the presentation of the Augsburg Confession, the sermon was preached by Pastor William Dahlman, who happened to be the pastor who helped found this congregation back in 1892. His sermon for the dedication of this church bore the title, Confessing Christ in Augsburg in 1530, Confessing Christ in Baltimore in 1930. And as I've often pointed out to you, on the cornerstone of this church, after the name of this church, we find the letters UAC, which stand for an altered Augsburg Confession. When this church building was dedicated in 1930, the Great Depression had begun. In less than 10 years, the world would be plunged into the most terrible war the world has ever seen. When the Lutheran princes and cities confessed their faith in Augsburg, Europe was threatened with an Islamic invasion. The church was torn and struck. No one from now, but the world and the church are now living through difficult days. But let us remember that our dear Savior, who loved us and gave himself for us, continues to pray for us before the Father's throne, just as he prayed for all who would believe in him on the night before he was crucified. That we all may be one in him, and that we might be kept in his word and truth. He prayed, Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me may be with me where I am, to behold my glory which thou hast given me and my love for me before the foundation of the world. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and